Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? Go for a run, take a nap, read a book, show up for a friend? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find out what matters to you, so you can do more of it. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
Bob Thompson, retired Fox Sports president, CEO, has been on with us a lot the last 3 or 4 years, including all of the crazy when it comes to realignment. And it's been a while, so I reached out to Bob because of some of what he's talked about when it comes to what we're about to have, when it's streaming and piecing together how you could watch sports, the cost, etc. And then also because the college football playoff distribution now is known, starting with what they released on Friday. Bob Thompson joins Paul Catalina. I'm David Smoke. Craig is at Baylor football practice right now. We'll be back a little bit later on. Bob, thank you so much for your time. We have one of our viewers, Kim Coulter, lives in Scottsdale, and I know that's real close to where you are. He is a member at Anthem Golf Course. How good a course is that? Have you played it?
I have not played it. It's a little ways from where I'm at, but I heard very good things about it. And, in fact, our new head pro just came over from Anthem.
Oh, okay. So, all right. Well, yeah, it's not.
There's
like
a lot of golf courses. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of golf courses around here, including one right outside my back door that I'm a member at. So I tend to play there.
Yeah, I was going to say, you could just turn around and you get slapped in the face with a golf course, and all of them look amazing. So you saw the numbers. I know you have made some comments along the way about the distribution or how much ESPN is giving the college football playoff. In the end, it seems like it's about what everyone thought. Was that a lower number than you would have expected maybe a couple of years ago?
First of all, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to be with you guys.
Thank you.
I thought it was a bit light, and I say that for a couple of reasons. You know, a few years ago, there was talk of the number starting with a 2, as in 2 billion. I think, you know, certainly the television business has suffered some significant headwinds since then. And we've seen that in bidding on certain properties that people thought might be a little more feverish, just didn't turn out that way. And I think this is one of those cases. But still, when you're coming off a 12-year deal, to only really get an increase of 25 to 28%, that seems a little light. Now, and what people have to understand here is I don't compare average cost of a 12-year deal with average cost of a 6-year deal, because it's an improper way to do it. You really need to look at what the last year of the existing deal is, which in the next two seasons is going to be when they have back up to 12 games. It's probably going to be in the 800 to 850 range. And then they're going to start the next deal in 26 at about $1.15 billion. So the increase is around 25%. But if you took what people were talking about, the average of the last deal, which is around 800 if you count the all six of the New Year's Six Bowls, and then go to 1.3, you know, people are saying it's 100% increase. Well, that's just not the case. And you know, I understand some of the headwinds, and ESPN as the incumbent always has an advantage on a renewal. And they probably have some back end rights. They probably have some exclusive negotiating windows. And it's possible that the other bidders never even really had a chance to look at the whole package, or what was offered to them was of no appeal to them. Like maybe it was just those first round games only. So, you know, and others just might not have been as interested as we thought. I thought Fox would go pretty hard at it, but, you know, either they didn't get a chance or they ultimately decided it wasn't something that really, you know, interested them.
Do you feel like they're still going to get anything at all? Or is this a 100% ESPN, so there's not going to be any kind of subleasing any games to them?
ESPN, my understanding, has the right to sublicense games. I don't know if that's something ESPN is prepared to do. I think that it's certainly a possibility, especially in the first round when you've got so many games that first weekend, first 3 or 4 days they'll play the game. So they may try and go ahead and sublicense some of those games, but I don't see them doing anything certainly after the first two rounds. I mean, they're clearly going to keep the semis in the finals.
Bob, what do you think would have been the reason that Fox didn't go as hard after it as maybe you would have thought?
Well, it could have just been as simple as ESPN didn't give them the option or the opportunity because of their back-end rights. And you know, if you have a tremendous advantage if you're the incumbent and you have certain back-end rights, you can get the thing kind of closed up before anybody else has even a chance to look real hard at it. Now, my understanding is they talked to a lot of people, but we don't know how far those talks ever got. And, you know, maybe ESPN was the preferred landing spot for these games with the CFP all along. And so then it just became a matter of, you know, what are you going to pay for these four extra games? And what will you, you know, give us as far as an increase goes? Because you got to remember, we're going from 7 to 11 games, I think it is, if you count all the New Year's Six Bowls. We're going from 7 games to 11 games. So there has to be something for those first four games. And that's going to be interesting to see if they ever do allocate a price to those, or if they offload them to somebody else, what someone pays for them, because that's going to be an interesting number, what the price for those first four games was.
It's not a surprise the SEC and the Big Ten are getting a larger chunk, but I was naive enough to think, I guess because I just was, that if there's this X amount of money that everybody that's an Autonomy 5 would get, it's at least somewhere close to the same, and that's not the case. We see what the SEC and Big Ten are going to get, what, the 58% split, and then the ACC 17, the Big 12, I think it's like 13 or 14 million, and the rest of it as well. Did that surprise you when you saw the breakdown?
You know, once I saw the SEC and the Big Ten talking about joining together on certain things, you had a pretty good idea they were going to flex their muscles on this. And clearly that's what happened, I think, you know, as opposed to the last go around and the 12-year deal where pretty much every one of the A5 conferences got the same amount of money to distribute amongst their members. Clearly the divide has been made now with, you know, 29% going to the Big Ten and SEC schools and 17% to ACC and 14.5-15% to the Big 12. I think that really they had no other choice. I mean, you don't want the Big Ten and the SEC to, you know, take their ball and go away. I'm not saying that's what they would have done, but clearly they have some outsized power in this thing. And I think this new sharing schedule is very indicative of that power.
What has to happen for those conferences to grow their share? Like, how long of a run would they have to go on winning playoff games and titles and drawing ratings for anything to tip in their favor?
Well, if you look at how the split was made, and the ACC had, what, Clemson in twice and Florida State in once in that last 12 years, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And the Big 12 had really, if you take out Texas, I think just TCU is probably the only one in there. Maybe in Oklahoma. Just TCU, I think. You're going to have three or four pretty good runs deep into the playoffs and hopefully winning a championship before it appears, based on the current breakout of numbers, percentages, before you're going to get any kind of benefit of having some significant success. The SEC and the Big Ten just had so many of the, you know, won so many championships and had so many finalists as well over the last 12 years that the numbers could only tip in their direction. So if you're the ACC or the Big 12, you're going to have to go on some pretty good runs deep into the playoffs, like I said, in order to get them to tilt the numbers your way.
Bob, you've been a part of this business, obviously retired now, but when did you see this coming, that they would eventually explode to this number, even back when you were negotiating what you did when you were at Fox?
I think when back in 2010, the last round of deals, 2010-11, when the Big 12 deals were getting done and there was Texas was rumored to, and three others were rumored to be going to the Pac-12, the Missouri and A&M moves to the SEC, you could see that there was starting to be a jockeying for position based on brands and market size and things like that. And then once the Big Ten made the land grab for Rutgers and Maryland, and then, you know, that also and Nebraska, that also gave me a pretty good indication that people are going to try and get bigger sooner rather than later. You know, it took a while because of the length of existing TV deals and grant of rights and how people were locked into their existing situation. But as those deals came to, you know, the end, it was pretty clear real quick that things were going to blow up again. And we may not be done. I mean, I know that there's certainly stuff going on in the ACC right now. But you've got five more years till a lot of these TV deals start up again or start to be renegotiated again. And I'm sure that's why the CFP went short, you know, as far as 6 years. And it's also why I think it was Yormark wanted to look to open up the deal, you know, around 2008 in case, you know, there's been some drastic moves that might require a rejiggering of these percentages that divide up the money.
Bob, is there a market, and I there's a handful of them, but of all the schools that are not attached to a conference right now, that are not attached to an autonomy four conference, because now the Pac-12's two, is there a market out there that you think's pretty juicy that someone's overlooking?
No, not really.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Yeah, these guys are smart. They would have known that by now. I was just curious.
Yeah. All you got to look to do is see what, you know, what they did with Oregon State and Washington State at the very beginning, which was to me kind of a shot across the bow of the Washington State president for holding up this thing for a while. We said, we're going to give you guys $350,000 each, right? They've been getting $6 million. We're going to give you $350,000 each. That's basically what UConn gets as an independent. And, you know, they went back and thankfully they increased it by tenfold. And at least you're giving these guys $3.6 million in Washington State and Oregon State. But, you know, you need to be in a conference that's strong. And I don't think that anything else out there is going to really move the, you know, that's not already associated with the A4 is going to really move the needle. I mean, it would be nice if Oregon State and Washington State got picked up somewhere. I don't know that they are, or what they reconstitute the Pac-12, if the CFP or anybody is going to look at them and say that we now are back to A5 again, or are they going to be looked at more as a G5? A lot of this is going to depend on what the makeup of the conference is.
Bob Thompson, former Fox Sports, retired Fox Sports CEO and president with us on 365 Sports.
Bob, how much value is there for basketball moving down the line? It seems like it's growing in popularity, but is the only value to expand the tournament something that I would say 95% of fans don't really want?
Let's be careful how I answer this because of some things I'm working on. But I think certainly there's significant value in basketball. And I think certain conferences who have good basketball are trying to make basketball, you know, a bigger piece of their pot. I think certainly the Big 12 has proven that they are, you know, an extremely strong basketball conference. And what Brett's done with, you know, the stuff up at Rucker Park in New York and selling the PSLs for the men's basketball tournament in Kansas City. I think those are all great ways to increase revenue that you're going to generate for basketball. From a television standpoint, I think it's an important part of an overall offering to from a conference to a broadcaster, but football is still drives the train.
Did you ever have conversations with Greg Sankey? And it's amazing to me because he started out at a college I used to cover when I lived in the East Texas, Laterno College. That's where he got his major in Longview. And he was at Utica. And others, Northwestern, Louisiana. So he started very small, and now here he is like the kingpin. Did you ever have a chance to talk with him much at all along the way?
Our paths crossed. I primarily dealt with Mike Slive,
right,
who was the commissioner of the SEC. But Greg was certainly around, and Mike was, you know, clearly thought very highly of him. It's not a surprise he's gotten to where he is. I think it's interesting in that, like you said, he kind of worked his way up through the minor leagues, as opposed to some of the conference commissioners these days that really have no collegiate background whatsoever. But I think he's got a good mix now, certainly with Greg having that experience. And then guys like Tony Petitti and Brett Yormark coming through different routes, you know, into the collegiate world, and also, you know, Jim Phillips, primarily through the collegiate side as well. So you've got, you know, kind of two of each to kind of offset each other, which I think is good.
Bob, when we talked to you, I don't know, over a year ago, and we're talking to you regularly, there was such an appetite for live sports, and, you know, these various properties, and we saw all of these networks rushing to gobble them up, but now it's kind of like there's kind of a pause on grabbing more territory and kind of a constriction going on, and I think you alluded to that, you know, being a possibility that the bubble would burst, so to speak, or shrink. Could you just sort of lay out your opinion on where you see sports rights right now and networks, their involvement, and just kind of what are we looking at in the landscape as compared to when it was just so hot and heavy, you know, a year or two ago?
Right. I think, you know, we're at a bit of an inflection point, and I think that inflection point was exhibited by this, you know, recent announcement by Disney, Fox, and Warner Brothers Discovery that they're going to, you know, start a direct-to-consumer product that kind of cuts the cable operator and the satellite operator out of the middle and goes straight to the consumers. And I think this is, again, it's a bit of a progression that we're seeing, a transformation from the linear world to the digital world. I think that it's not going to happen as fast as people think. But I think the fact that Fox and ESPN/Disney and WBD making that move is indicative of the fact that they have to play in every one of these different platforms, whether it's, you know, broadcast television, whether it's linear cable, whether it's direct-to-consumer streaming. And now we're seeing what we kind of thought we would see all along, which is a bundling of streamers. So you had the bundle on the cable side. Now we're starting to see bundling on streaming side. The other thing you're going to ultimately end up seeing, I believe, on the streaming side is there's going to be some consolidation. There's too many folks out there losing too much money for there not to be some sort of consolidation. And this is very typical for the media business. You go through these kind of growth phases, and then everybody realizes they can't eat everything they purchase. And so they figure out a way to kind of spread it amongst other folks and through, you know, mergers or sales. I think that for as far as the bubble goes and that where sports rights are going, I think that the prime and premier properties are going to continue to get above average increases. I think less valuable properties, we're going to see less increases, if any increases. And I think that the perfect example of that is what we saw happen to the Pac-12. They were offered less than they'd been basically getting in the past, and they didn't feel that was correct. But the TV people did. And the streamers, while they were certainly there at the end and were there at a pretty significant number, they weren't going to pay a cent more than they felt they had to. And so we're at that point now, I think, where the prime properties, like, you know, the NFL, but their deals are done for several years, so we're not going to see that in the news. But you've got the NBA coming up. You've got UFC coming up. There's a couple other things, though. CFP was one. So we're running out of primary, you know, premier properties that are going to be on the market in the short term. So we've got 4 or 5 years for everybody to kind of sort it out. The big question is always, you know, do the tech companies make the decision ultimately that they want to be in this game, and they want to be in this game in a big way? And to do that, you do one of two things. You go in and outbid everybody else, or you go buy somebody who's already in the game. And that will be the kind of the interesting thing to me to watch. It's hard to get a table or a seat at the big boys table in the sports world, unless you're willing to go in and just blow people, you know, off their seats with a huge bid so far above and beyond what anybody else was prepared to bid that the property can't just turn away. I mean, they gotta take it. And so that'll be the question, is if one of the tech guys comes in and blows somebody away with an outsized deal just to get a seat at the table. But once you're at the table, you know, you're going to be at the table every time, you know, something's up for bid.
I always remember, I'll never forget when Fox just came out of really nowhere. It was always an ABC, NBC, CBS deal. And then all of a sudden back, what was that? I don't know, the 80s, 70s?
93, 94.
You were right there in the middle of that. Last thing, you've mentioned streaming. Fox, ESPN, WBD in the neighborhood. I saw this on a response you had, this like in the $40 to $50 a month neighborhood. Paramount, $10. Peacock, $6. How much will the one that you hear that has other streaming packages combined, is this going to end up in the end costing about the same as cable, or is it going to be about half without the local content?
I think it's going to be a little less than cable because you, at this point, none of the RSNs are in a big way. I mean, there are certain RSNs that are available streaming, but I think that you're going to have some packages and they're going to end up in the 60, 65 range, say, to get, you know, the bulk of the sports you want to get. But, you know, you're not far off from what Google, you know, or YouTube TV is. It's like 70 something bucks,
yep,
at least for now, that's what it's at. And so the question becomes, do you give up all those other channels, which you may not watch a lot, but you watch some, and then just have, you know, the channels that are streaming that are part of the sports pack with, you know, Fox, Disney, and WBD, and then you buy Peacock, and you buy Paramount Plus, and you've got the NFL covered, and you've got a lot of stuff covered. But, you know, like me, I watch CNBC pretty much every day, and they don't stream. So if I want that product, I'm kind of stuck in the bundle world, and that's fine. I think that I'm comfortable with that, and I've lived with that for years and years and years, and I don't want to go 100% streaming. If at some point I'm forced to because of cost or because certain product is only available streaming, then yeah, I'll make that decision at that time. But it always takes longer for these, you know, new technologies to take over than people think. And, you know, certainly, yeah, the linear world has dropped from 100, 105 million subs down to 70 million subs. 70 million is still a lot of homes. And you multiply that number times, you know, 10 bucks a month like ESPN's getting, and it's still throwing off a lot of cash. But they're just covering their bases by making sure that they're available everywhere. Look, mm-hmm. it's no different than Nike. You can buy Nike shoes at Dick's Sporting Goods or Foot Locker, but you can also buy Nike shoes direct from Nike on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And the TV guys are just trying to do the same thing. You gotta play in all the areas where your potential customers are. And that means you have to get in the direct to retail business, direct to consumer business. You got to do it because there's 40 million some odd homes out there that used to have some sort of cable into their house that don't now. And maybe you can pick some of those up.
By the way, go ahead.
Yeah, Bob, you're not wrong about new technologies taking slow. I'll just give you the example of the Starbucks app. It's the easiest thing to use in the world, yet I still walk into Starbucks or get in the drive-thru and hear people yelling out a complicated coffee order when they could just type it into their phone and go, "Hi, I'm Paul, I'm here." And they're like, "Here's your coffee."
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
Bob, Kim, by the way, the member at Anthem said, is it Travis, the head pro? Tell him that Kim Coulter said hello when you see him next time.
I will do that. Travis is the guy.
Travis, again, the pro where we now have Bob Thompson, where he plays his golf right out of his back door. Bob, thank you very much. As always, such an enlightening and great experience from what you've learned over the years. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure, guys. Yep. Have a good week.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.